This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Yik. The floods that hit many states in Peninsula Malaysia over the weekend have left many people with severe damage to their homes and their possessions. Thousands have been evacuated from their homes, and many others, are still awaiting help as well. Tragically, of course, some people have also lost their lives to the floods. Now, amid these very urgent concerns, there are also other health risks that people who are affected by the floods need to be aware of. So joining me today is Professor Dr. Nazima Idris, Medical Director of IMU Healthcare and also Exco of Mercy Malaysia, to tell us more about what these health risks are. Thank you so much for joining us, Prof. Now, perhaps we can jump right into it. From your perspective, what would be the health risks to look out for immediately following floods like these?
Yeah, okay. Doctors would normally like to have a system to classify the risk so we can anticipate the problems at a given time. Simply, we can classify it into immediate risk and later risk. Immediate risks are like drowning or near drowning, injuries, animal bites, typically snake bites, electrocution, and sometimes hypothermia if you're exposed for a long period. In the days following the immediate events, we would anticipate risks such as complications from injuries such as infected wounds, skin diseases due to contact with dirty flood water, waterborne diseases such as typhoid and cholera, other infective conditions such as respiratory infections like pneumonia, food-related infection like food poisoning from improperly prepared food and contaminated water. And very importantly too, there will be signs of mental health issues developing or already developed by this time. And for later complications, we would usually be dealing with leptospirosis, which is an infection caused by leptospira, typically spread by rodents, mental health issues such as post-traumatic stress disorders and depression, and managing those with chronic diseases such as diabetes, hypertension, heart disease, asthma.
All right. You know, I want to go back to the, the immediate problems. You mentioned drowning and electrocution, and that's really alarming. And, you know, in the heat of the moment, when people are panicking in that crisis moment, what would have led to potential risk of drowning and electrocution? And, what people can do to make sure they avoid that?
I'm actually very worried about drowning or near drowning because a lot of people will not be able to evaluate the risk, whether it is safe or not safe. And in their mind, they would need to save themselves. So they would actually be either walking or driving through the flood water, even swimming through the flood water, without realizing that there might be a lot of undercurrents beneath and that they cannot actually cope with or manage. So that is critical. Of course, the others is when they leave it until too late and they are trapped. They will not be able to get out of that situation and they drown. Mm. Okay. Electrocution is normally from the live electrical cables when electricity has not yet been switched off, for example, and you do not see them. Then when you go through the flood water, there's a risk of being electrocuted.
Mm. Hypothermia, you mentioned, and, there are people who were waiting for help, sitting on the roofs of their homes, exposed to rain, sitting in flood water, maybe even. What could be done, to prevent hypothermia from setting in?
For hypothermia, of course, you worry about the vulnerable groups like the children and the older people. Of course, if you have your emergency kit with you, then you can protect yourself to some extent from hypothermia. And if you can make a quick decision to evacuate, you will not be trapped and therefore will not be exposed and you can avoid hypothermia. It is a good thing that our country is a warm country, so it's not actually a hugely critical problem. But of course, for some group of patients or for some vulnerable people, it is a definite issue. So if you have your emergency kit with you, like dry clothes, blankets, that can help you some.
So what are some practical things that people can do right now? Many are already at flood relief centres. Many are also, they didn't have to evacuate, but they're cleaning out their homes right now. What are some practical tips to mitigate those health risks that you have described?
So among other things that I would like to advise you is, one, avoid walking and driving through flood water to prevent drowning and injuries, because there might be dangerous currents and you might get swept away. There might be live electrical cables that can cause electrocution and broken debris that can cause you injuries. We might not see them under the water, but you can get injured by them. When power lines are down and there's water in your home, you have to make a quick decision to gather your emergency supplies and get ready to evacuate. You must plan your evacuation routes and where is your safe destination. And before you evacuate, turn off electricity, gas, and water supply. If you are in the evacuation center, for example, even if you are at home, practice good hygiene at all times. Remember the diseases brought about by waterborne diseases and waterborne organism. So practice good hygiene at all times. Frequently wash hands with soap and water. If you are in a crowded place like the evacuation center, observe physical distancing, wear masks, use hand sanitizer, and observe your sneeze and cough etiquette. Okay. The next thing that I want to mention is food hygiene, because you can get food poisoning and infection from organism from bloodborne water. Okay, so food hygiene is extremely important. You have to keep your hands, food preparation areas, and utensils clean. You have to separate raw food and cooked food. Raw food has probably has some issues with cleanliness. Okay, you separate them from your cooked food. Preferably, do not use produce affected by flood water, and cook thoroughly. Okay, you have to throw away spoiled food in your refrigerator. As a guide, if the electricity is cut, the food in the refrigerator should be good for about 24 hours, provided you do not open the door. Longer than that, it is advised that you discard them because it's probably not safe anymore for you to use. Okay? And I want to remind us all to take care of your mental health. It is extremely important. A lot of people are not familiar to disasters and therefore do not have mental health coping strategy. So if you feel that you're having problems, talk to someone or get professional help. There are NGOs such as Mercy Malaysia that provide psychological first aid and mental health and psychological services to people affected by disasters. They will go to evacuation centers or you can contact them, and they also have online session if you need some psychological help. Okay?
Absolutely. What else should people do as they're cleaning up their homes now in order to prevent any other possible health problems?
You know, last night I was in Puchong sending some supplies and I see a lot of items discarded by the roadside. I think people have made that decision what to keep and what to needs to be thrown away. Essentially, soil items that cannot be disinfected, such as the rugs, certain furnitures, you have to throw them away, otherwise it becomes health risk, okay? You're going to start cleaning up. You clean surfaces with soap and water. If you need to disinfect, the World Health Organization recommends mixing 1 cup bleach with 1 gallon of water, and you can use that to disinfect surfaces after you have cleaned them. And when you're doing cleaning up, please wear rubber boots and plastic gloves. Please avoid direct contact with flood water because you don't know what's in them.
You mentioned, you know, the SOPs to prevent the spread of COVID-19, like distancing, if it's possible. I know the evacuation centres can be very crowded, of course.
Exactly.
You know, wearing of masks. That's probably a concern because people may not have extra masks with them. If masks get wet, they're not actually useful anymore, right?
Exactly. This is why Malaysians are very generous. So when it is publicized that there are needs for all this, normally we'll get a lot of donation. And also the medical-based NGOs are very aware of this problem and they actually sprang into action very fast and provide all this. The Ministry of Health also. So if you have the mask, use them. If you don't, then you have to observe others, like the social distancing and the cough and sneeze etiquette, so that we do not spread the infection. Mm.
And these are important for people who are providing relief and aid as well, aren't they? Those going to the houses to provide assistance.
Exactly. They have to strictly follow the SOPs, because they will be in contact with a lot of people and they will be meeting other people after they rescued the first two of people. So we do not want to be them to be the agent to spread the infection while doing all the good things that they are doing, of course.
Absolutely. Now, a number of government health clinics, Klinik Kesehatan and Klinik Desa, have had to be closed because they were themselves affected by the floods. What's your advice for people who, you know, would have usually frequented those clinics for medical attention? What should they do now?
Yeah, extremely important that you bring this up. I would say first, please make sure you have your medication supply with you. Keep it safe and bring it with you if you have to evacuate. Second, please keep a record of your medical conditions and a list of medications. So if there are mobile clinics that come to your area or the evacuation center, the doctor will know your medical conditions, what medications you are taking, and we can treat you accordingly. This will be useful too if you have to go to other clinics than your regular clinic. So we must have that with us. And if you're pregnant, it is especially important to have your pregnancy records with you. Most pregnant women have their pink book where all the record of their pregnancy is in there. So make sure do not lose them.
I think
if you do, you have to remember your details so the doctors can help you.
I think this is also a good reminder for all of us, regardless whether we have been affected by the floods or not, to know that these are things that should be kept in one spot that we can very quickly grab them and go, right? So on that note, do you want to talk about the emergency kit that you brought up?
Yeah, okay. The emergency kit is something that everyone would have to have, obviously. But of course, sometimes when we do not think that we're going to be in that condition, so we don't. But now is a good time to do that. The emergency kit has to have essential that can last 72 hours. Okay. And you can decide what you should be in the emergency bag based on your needs, especially if you have medical conditions. Typically, there should be clothes, there should be documents, there should be ready-to-eat food, bottled water, your medicine, and your medical records. That was what a doctor would like you to have. Of course, there'll be other things like your phone, your mobile charger, and your power bank, and probably a flashlight and whistle.
Do you have any final thoughts to share, Prof?
Okay, I want to highlight mental health concerns. Okay, because in an emergency, we think about saving ourselves, saving our loved ones, saving our stuff. Then a couple of days later, your brain will start processing, and this is when you have issues. Okay, so I want to remind everyone, it is always good to be prepared. If you live in a flood-prone area, you should already make some preparation in anticipation of the upcoming flood and the need to evacuate. If you have planned it, then if you are more prepared, that will mean less panic, less uncertainties, and hopefully a less traumatic experience for you and a better coping with potential mental health issues. And you will survive the episode without too much damage, I would say, or even impacts on your health. Mm.
Any phone numbers or websites you can share for people to reach out to Mercy?
Of course, you can visit Mercy Malaysia at www.mercy.org.my. At the same time, you can call in at 019-3144-622. I'll repeat, 019-3144-622, and speak to one of our officers over there. And he or she can direct you to the areas or the services that you need.
Thank you very much for that. That was Professor Dr. Nazima Idris, Exco of Mercy Malaysia, and also Medical Director from IMU Healthcare. We've been discussing health risks following the floods and what people can do to mitigate those risks. Coming up, we'll be revisiting some previous shows where we looked at the importance of psychological first aid after a disaster, as well as more tips from the Ministry of Health about how to ensure your supply of medications will not be disrupted during the time of a disaster like this. So stay tuned to Health and Living, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.